Return this evening to our examination of this subject, Matthew's Messiah, and to see the picture that Matthew, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, paints for us as he tells of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and events that preceded that and those that followed. Tonight we are going to consider the question, what did Joseph see? And when we consider that question, I want us to have in our mind two other questions that were asked, or two other incidents that occurred in Scripture. One is in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, recorded in Mark 8, where he heals a man who is blind. And Jesus asks the question, do you see anything? And the man replies, I see people, but they look like trees walking. He'd been blind. He had a measure of restoration, but he did not have complete sight. Another incident that I want you to have in your mind occurred in the second book of Kings in the life of Elisha, when he is in the city of Samaria, and the king of Syria surrounds the city in order to destroy it. And his servant wakes up in the morning, and he sees the city surrounded. And he says to his master Elisha, alas, my master, what shall we do? He said, do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. And those two stories, in a way, prepare for what I want to say tonight. There's a way in which, even as Christians, even as those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour, those of us who have perhaps have lived by faith for a number of years, we can have partial sight. We can have partial understanding. In fact, I would go further than say there's a way in which we can. I think it's inevitable. None of us will be perfect this side of heaven. And therefore, our understanding is always limited. Like the blind man, we see people, but we see them as trees walking. But there are times, and we need to offer the prayer that Elisha offered, O Lord, open his eyes that he may see. O Lord, open my eyes that I may see. There are times, and we're going through difficulties, we're going through challenges, we feel as though circumstances have completely overwhelmed us. We feel encircled, like Elisha and his servant did. But we need to see beyond the immediate. We need to see as God saw and as God sees. And with those two pictures in our mind tonight, I want us to ask the question, what did Joseph see? What did Joseph see when he had been told that his betrothed wife was in fact pregnant? And the first answer that I want to give to that question was that he saw an unfaithful bride and a shattered world. He thought that this woman, Mary, was totally virtuous, because we read in verses 18 and 19, and her husband Joseph, this is verse 19, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly, because he had been told that she was pregnant. And I could imagine that he had heard the story which Neil read to us, and she had told him that God had spoken to her that she was pregnant. She was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And let's be honest, how many of us would believe that story easily? And the only thing that Joseph is able to see is that this woman to whom he has committed his life, this woman that he has sought to honor by not entering into a physical relationship, the only thing that he can see is that she has been unfaithful. They've entered into a culturally relevant marriage covenant, and both families have agreed, both formal and informal arrangements, maybe a bride price has been paid. Both families have committed themselves to this marriage. Mary and Joseph have committed themselves, and they have said, yes, we give ourselves to each other, but the requirement was that they do not come together until the appointed time, sometimes up to a year, between the formal arrangement and the actual consummation of their marriage. They were not free, but neither were they permitted to consummate their marriage. Joseph knew that he had not crossed that barrier. But his wife is pregnant. Now let's be honest. What would we think? What did he see? He saw an unfaithful bride. This can mean only one thing. Can you imagine the thoughts that were going through his mind? I thought I could trust her. If I can't trust her, who can I trust? If I can't trust her in this period of betrothal, will I be able to trust her in marriage? He knew the story of Hosea in the Old Testament, the prophet who was told to marry an immoral woman. And that woman, even though she was married to a prophet, a preacher of the word of God, she went back to her ways of sin. And Joseph would have been thinking these things. I've committed myself to her, but she is unfaithful. How can I enter into a full marriage relationship with a woman who has been with another man? Let's be honest. No one can blame him for his desire to divorce her, to put her away quietly. No one can blame him for those questions and for his reactions. But we need to go back to words spoken by the Lord to Samuel as he was looking for David to anoint him as king. Eliab, the first son of Jesse, arrives. And God says to him, the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Friends, all of us hit situations in life and we think, I didn't expect it to be like this. I thought that it would have been this way. I feel so let down by that person. And let's be honest, there are some people who even feel let down by God. God, why have you allowed this to happen? We're not told that Joseph said that. But there are times that as Christians, we say, Lord, I've done this, I've done that, I've been obedient to your word. I trusted you in that situation. Why? Why has it been allowed to happen? And I'm sure those questions were going through Joseph's mind at this time. But he needed to hear something that his foster son was going to say 33 years later. What I am doing now, you do not understand, but afterward you will understand. Friends, We have to accept that there are times in the Christian life when it is virtually impossible to understand the ways and the works of God. We don't always understand what God is leading us through. And there are times when we feel crushed. Joseph saw an unfaithful bride and in effect a shattered world. The world that he had seen building up was crushed. The hopes and plans that he had were dashed. But the second thing that he saw was a faithful God. We read in verse 20. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Now, in a way, this is an amazing reflection on Joseph as a person, because we are told that this happens in a dream. We're not told it's a vision. It's not something that happens when he is wide awake. But the part that I find amazing is that with all of this trouble going through his mind, he is actually able to go to sleep. But in his sleep, he was sensitive to God. And God, as it were, invaded his world. He receives a direct message from God. In all of the confusion, God is able to speak to him. The message doesn't come through a sermon. It doesn't come through his quiet time or through reading the scriptures, because they wouldn't have done that in those days. It didn't come through a rabbi, one of the teachers of Israel, nor a priest, nor a scribe, nor a Pharisee. They have the Old Testament scriptures. But how does God speak to this man? God could have used any of these things, but he didn't. I believe that Joseph was living in days similar to those of Samuel. We're told in 1 Samuel 3 that the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. It said, isn't it, of the Lord, after he had completed his Sermon on the Mount, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. Why did God speak directly to Joseph? I believe it was because at that time there was no man available to pass on this message. There was no man so in touch with God as, for example, Nathan, who went to David with the word of prophecy and said to him, you are the man. No, God had to come directly to this man. Former religion was at a low ebb. People were going through the rituals, turning up at meetings, offering sacrifices, but no sensitivity to God. Religion may have been at a low ebb, but as Paul says when he wrote to Timothy, the word of God is not bound. And in this situation, even though there was little evidence of godly preaching, a powerful awareness of God, Joseph sees a faithful God. A God who keeps his promises. A God who says, I'm Emmanuel. I am with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. In the panic and disappointment of his own experience, he came face to face with God. It was in a dream, but it was vivid. It was powerful. Last week, we were considering, weren't we, that great theme, God with us, Emmanuel. And we here see him, not simply present in the gathering of God's people. Psalm 122, I was glad when they said to me, let us go up to the house of the Lord. No, it isn't that. It is when he's away on his own. When perhaps, and here I'm using a little bit of imagination, he'd cried himself to sleep. In that sleep, he saw a faithful God. Friends, Joseph's God is our God. He is the God who spoke in power on Sinai. He is the God who spoke through the prophets of old. He is the God who spoke through the apostles of the New Testament. But he is the God who speaks today. Do we recognize his voice? Do we understand the faithfulness of this God? Are we truly aware that God is with us? I say this carefully, but we must note how God speaks to this man. There's not a preacher in sight. God burst into his life and spoke to Joseph. Friends, would you expect that? We teach that the Holy Spirit witnesses with our spirit. But how many of us honestly believe that God is able to speak directly to us without a preacher of the words? Now, I believe that preaching is one of the greatest gifts that God has given to this world. And when God speaks, as he did to Joseph, he will never contradict his revealed word, because we see that in this dream, the Lord actually takes Joseph back to the word of God, back to the Old Testament scriptures. In verse 22, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. And then you have this quotation from Isaiah, that the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. God is speaking directly to him, but God is building his message on the revealed word of God, on the Old Testament prophets. Friends, I do not believe that God will ever contradict the scriptures. But I do believe that there are times when we can become complacent in our hearing of the word of God. We can perhaps avoid hearing the word of God by not reading it for ourselves, by not attending to the public worship of God where the word of God is preached. There are times that we are prevented from hearing the word of God. Over the last few weeks, we have had these horrible health issues. We have many people who are unable, although they're members of our church, they're not able to gather with us because of health issues and age issues. Does that mean that God will not speak to them? No, friends. We have a faithful God. God is able and willing to speak to our hearts. Joseph saw a faithful God. A God who would not contradict what he had already said 700 years before. A faithful God who meets us in the heat of the moment, in the pressure of the issues. And friends, this was a life-changing experience for Joseph. We talk about regeneration as a theological subject. Being born again. I believe that this is what happened to this man. He had a direct experience of God, which changed him completely. Changed not from the outside, by doing the right things, but changed from the inside. Because, like Lydia, God opened his heart to believe what he was doing. He saw an unfaithful bride. He saw a faithful God. And it changed his perspectives. Before I preach tonight, I realized that I had to clean my glasses. And spiritually, that is what happened to Joseph. His spiritual glasses were cleaned. He had an insight that he hadn't seen before. Before going to sleep that night, he had seen an unfaithful bride. What was the third thing that he saw? He saw a spirit-empowered woman. Because the Lord says to him, not to fear. We were looking at that this morning. Take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. He saw Mary quite differently. God had spoken. He had seen her as one who was unfaithful. He was told quite clearly that the woman he loved, the woman to whom he was committed, was far from unfaithful. She was not guilty of immorality, but quite the contrary. She was the special beneficiary of the Holy Spirit. We might say that she was filled with the Spirit. She had an experience of God, which I believe surpassed the Old Testament experiences of God. You read of the Old Testament experiences of the Holy Spirit, and we are told that the Spirit came upon him, and he spoke the word. It came upon him. But what has happened to this woman? She has conceived. That which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has not come upon her, but the Holy Spirit has entered her. Not her testimony, but the testimony of God. God had already said this to her, that she would be filled with the Spirit. The Spirit would be the one who would fertilize her egg. The one that she would carry would be a human child, but would also be the Son of God. There is a way in which it is not blasphemous to say that Mary was the Mother of God, because God, the Holy Spirit, had filled her and had consummated this relationship in order that she might bear one whose name would be Jesus, but one who was also the Son of God. Neil read to us from Luke chapter 1 tonight. The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called the Son of God." Notice there, it's Old Testament language, will come upon you. But here in Matthew, that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Mary was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And I use the word in its proper way, a unique miracle was performed. People use unique comparatively These days they say, oh, it was more unique. No, you cannot use unique comparatively. It means it was the only time that this thing happened. It was the only example of this particular thing. And this is the only example in history where this has ever happened or where it will ever happen. We say, Bernard, Elizabeth, Hannah, Sarah, they all conceived children after they had been barren. Yes, they did. But the Lord opened their wombs and they conceived like any other woman would conceive. Mary is unique. I have never known a man. The Holy Spirit had entered into her. What a work of the Holy Spirit. What a powerful demonstration of the power of God. Many of us have lived, haven't we, through the contemporary or recent charismatic movement. And there has been a great emphasis on the work of the Holy Spirit, and in particular, the manifestation of the gifts. We have seen exuberant worship, which at times has sadly declined into personality worship. Mary knew the work of the Holy Spirit. She knew the gift of the Holy Spirit. But the first work of the Holy Spirit is to change the life of every believer. There is no person here tonight who is a Christian who has not first been changed by the Holy Spirit. This was an experience that changed the life of both Mary and Joseph. The Holy Spirit filled her. The Holy Spirit spoke to her. Joseph was a man preparing to legally annul the arrangement of his wife, of his marriage. But here he sees his wife as one filled and equipped by the Holy Spirit. He is turned around. The evidence of God is at work in this woman's life. And God is at work in Joseph's life. Friends, let me ask you, how do you see that particular person? I'm not going to describe who the person is, but perhaps you see that person in the same way that Joseph saw Mary. You despise that person. You question their integrity. You wonder if they were ever a Christian. Pray that the Lord would come to you as he came to Joseph. If that person is a Christian, then you have to believe that God the Holy Spirit has entered that person's life, has opened their heart that they might believe the gospel. You have to believe that Christ went to Calvary for that person because he loved that person so much that he was prepared to die in their place. You have to believe that God the Father, in eternity past, chose that person for salvation. Do you see? The great doctrine of predestination, the great doctrine of the substitutionary death of Christ, the great doctrine of the regenerating power of the Spirit. They're not just theories. They're experiences. They're experiences that we as individuals have when we come to faith. But they are experiences that other people have. And friends, if God in Trinity has so worked in that person's life, don't see them as someone to be despised, but see them as they really are, a Spirit-empowered, Spirit-filled person. What did Joseph see? He saw an unfaithful bride. He saw a faithful God. But oh, he saw a Spirit-empowered woman. The fourth thing that he saw, or the fourth point in my sermon, because it has actually two parts to it. He saw a God and a wife to be on it. Verse 24, when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. I've said he saw God to be honored. He saw a wife to be honored. What does the word honor mean? Well, the Oxford Dictionary just defines it as to regard with great respect. Or, in another way, it is to fulfill an obligation, to keep an agreement. He honored God by keeping the agreement that God required of him. He honored his wife by keeping the agreement that he had made with her. But it was not simply a legal thing. His whole attitude to this woman had changed. Joseph woke from his sleep. He woke from his dream. And the priorities of his life had completely changed. No longer was he set on annulling this marriage. But the priority of his life now was to do the will of God. Friends, he hadn't seen the glorified Lord as Isaiah did in the Old Testament. He had not seen the risen Lord as Paul did on the Damascus Road. But he knew the authority of God's word. He knew the power of the Holy Spirit in his life. And even though it was a messenger, an angel of the Lord that had come to him, he could do nothing but obey. Throughout history, God's people have been faced with exactly the same authority. And they've been able to do nothing but obey God. Amos, the Old Testament preacher, says, "The Lord has spoken. Who can but prophesy?" Paul, in 1 Corinthians, says, "For necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." This man had met with God, and he honored God by obeying him fully. Friends, do you honor God? Do we honor God? How do we honor God? We obey him. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." But Bernard, the great doctrines of biblical Christianity, that we are justified by grace through faith. Friends, faith is like a coin. On one side, you have the head, which says, "We must trust God." On the tail, you have the fact that we must obey God. No coin is complete without the head and without the tail. Both have to be stamped there. Our Christianity is not complete unless we trust and obey. He honoured God. But friends, he honoured his wife. He honoured the wife that God had brought him to. Verse 24, he took his wife. He was no longer going to get rid of her. He took her. But he honoured his wife and God by not consummating the marriage until the child was born. He didn't abuse himself. He didn't abuse his wife. He didn't abuse or demand his marital rights until the purposes of God had been fulfilled. Friends, this man was no longer the center of his own life. He began saying, how can I be face life when this woman has so shamed me? No. God was first. God has spoken. I must obey him. His wife was a very close second. God has given me this woman. I must honour her. In fact, Joseph acted like the child that he was going to be foster father to. He acted like Christ in that he was prepared to lay aside his reputation in order that a people might be saved and in order that God might be glorified. Friends, what is it that God wants us to see tonight? What is it that you see that offends you, that annoys you, that shatters your world? Remember, if it's a Christian, Christ died for that person. The Holy Spirit fills that person. God chose that person. The first Christmas established the greatest arrangement of the greatest relationship that humanity has ever seen. And in Joseph we see an example of a man totally converted by the grace of God. May each of us pray that we too would have the eyes of our understanding opened by God, so that we might honour our God and our fellow believers. And that as a result of that act of honouring, our God would be glorified, he would be lifted up, and many would be drawn to him. Amen.